Where arts and adventure summits the airwaves. This is the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show. I'm R. Brandon Long, along with Todd Oberndorfer, and we are your hosts for the greatest podcast in the land. Our arts and adventure guests this week include Brandy Bosworth from the Nature Center. Brandy, here we go.
Woop, woop. Hello.
Big shout out. Along with Shane Osgathorpe with Visit Ogden the Proper Way. And who'd I forget?
I don't know. There's a lot of them.
Okay. Right. We welcome you both to the new Ogden Arts and Adventure Show. Todd, how did we get here? Let's go behind the curtain a little bit. This is a new idea. This is the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show Part 2.
Yeah, or like a reboot.
Reboots
are popular. Yeah. But this is we're sort of officially considering it a different show, but it is a...
Yeah, so let's get your feedback real quick. Should this be episode 1 of the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show or episode 390 whatever of the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show?
And your votes will be taken into account with our thoughts.
Number one. I want to be a part of number one.
It should be episode one. Yeah. I want to be where they arrive when they do the deep dive on this podcast. They end up with us.
Okay.
That's right.
So let's clarify. And I think that goes along the line of kind of what we were thinking too.
Yeah.
But technically it's number one, but it is on the heels of the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, which started in 2010. And Brandon kind of let us in on that story.
Yeah. We've been around a while, I guess. All of us. So in 2010, we started the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, and that was to tell everyone in Ogden what's going on with outdoor adventure, obviously. But we would have a lot of arts guests on, say for Banff, when that came around. Brandy has a lot of art stuff going on at the Nature Center. So
And you had me on the show.
We had you on the show. Co-host. And you are an arts guy.
Yeah, I'm an arts guy.
Dude, yeah. Whatevs. And we're both very entrenched in the arts. We're both on the Ogden City Arts
Advisory. I'm an arts bro.
No, I'm not.
I've never heard those two words put together.
Can I join your club?
Nope.
You're solo.
I'm immediately quitting that club. Immediately. I just wanted to say those words right next to each other. All right,
arts
as you
bro.
Were.
Arts bro. Let's be honest. You podcast the same podcast for 10 plus years, it gets a little stale. I thought it was stale. I was unmotivated.
So this is a motivational thing.
This is a...
Okay. This is to get you off the couch.
The last couple of years was a little weird. I got pretty busy over the last couple of years as well, going to grad school, and that sort of kept me away. And so a long break turned into how do we... get re-energized again.
I wanted to be re-energized, and I love the arts in Ogden, and I love outdoor adventure. And so also I want to be able to travel and bring guests, introduce people to Ogden from outside of Ogden. So we're keeping the name Ogden because we love Ogden and that's where we're based. But think of it more like a Teton Gravity. Like we want to go grab guests from all over and introduce Ogden to those guests. And so whether they're in the arts or the outdoor industry, that's sort of what we'll stay
in that niche because that's our world.
Yeah, that's our world.
So quick question to do a little cross promo for you. Is the Nine Rails podcast still going? Or is this going to kind of blend in with the outdoor show?
That's a good question. I think that what'll happen is the Nine Rails will probably be special little one-offs.
Okay.
Because that was always meant to be sort of archival proof of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so I think as those things continue to happen, I still want to record kind of archive the history of the Nine Rails.
I think that's important. I think that's very cool.
Yeah. But the regularity, you know, is going to be purposely... infrequent for that show.
Yeah.
Specials. And broader.
But that's a great question. And it'll be broader.
Yeah. It's a special podcast.
It's a very special episode.
Very special episode.
But thanks for the clarification because there is some crossover.
Yeah. Wow. I just wanted to give you a little cross promo. Yeah. People need to look into that one too.
Oh, we'll be all about the cross promo as well. we'll be talking even more about another one of our shows, Van Sessions, at the end of this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So this is the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show, and we'll still bring up local happenings and events, but we're going to rely on you all, the guests that we invite each week to sort of help us with that and carry the show. So little did you know you're carrying the podcast.
All right. Great. So, no pressure, Brandy. No pressure. Here we go.
All right, first up is Brandy with the Nature Center and Cup Hop.
Ah, the Cup Hop.
Yeah.
I love the Cup Hop, especially in the office, because we get so much input. It's really fun. You know what animal you should do? Why don't you name it this? Da, da, da. Anyway, it's fun because it brings energy, and so it's really fun. But it's in its fourth year of this funny little thing where we just print a cute cup with an animal on it and the Nature Center logo. And then
it's brilliant, by the way.
Five different coffee shops in Ogden. That's the other big controversy, but we're sticking with our originals.
Who are the five?
It is Grounds for Coffee on 30th and Harrison.
Harrison, yeah.
Grounds for Coffee on 25th Street. So two different grounds, different owners.
Yep.
The Daily Rise.
All locations or just?
Last year we were in their Weber State location. This year we're at their drive-in.
Cool.
So the Daily Rise, of course, Cafe Merck on 26th Street, and Coffee Links.
Oh, okay.
Cool. And the guys at Coffee Links are just so great.
I love
everybody.
You know what?
All of these people are absolute.
Wait, favorite. Who wants in, Brandy? Why is this controversial?
Not going there.
Okay. I tried. Yeah.
I mean, do you have a dollar? Could you be paid off?
But I will say it's great. It's great that other coffee shops want to participate, but this is the crew. And, you know, we're in the fourth year.
It's a very respectable crew.
It is a respectable.
Those are all regular stops for me. So
yeah.
I know where to get my cup now.
Yeah. And so it starts this year on Monday, November 14th at Grounds for Coffee on 30th and Harrison.
And you have to go on a specific day, is that correct?
So it's actually the week of
until
the coffee cups are gone.
Okay.
And each shop gets so many coffee cups, and when they're gone, they're gone.
Are they all the same animal?
They're all the same animal.
Here's my marketing idea for you. Put different animals at different places so everyone has to collect the whole set.
He's new here, Brandy.
See the input?
I'm sorry.
He is new.
I know. I'm not helping.
No, this is a new animal this year. Every year is a different animal. So we've had a tortoise. We've had a bluebird. We've had
a crow?
Squirrel. And this is a raven. Officially.
Okay.
This year's is a sooty raven.
A what kind?
Sooty. I call him sooty because he's on this charcoal gray cup. It's just...
Oh, sooty.
Sooty. Does he live at the Nature Center as well? Sooty. Are they actual Nature Center animals you
there
put on there?
Is, well, some are and some are not.
Here's the marketing idea number two.
Actually,
make
them
actual Nature
they
Center
are.
Animals.
So far, yes. I will say so far, yes. And because I have the inside scoop on what next year's animal is. I'm
wow, already? You guys are ahead.
Are we going to get any kind of clue at all?
For next year?
Yeah. Can we start guessing what
the cup color is red. And... all of the animals are tone on tone.
It's not going to be a cardinal, though. We don't have cardinals around here.
We don't have cardinals.
Let's see, what could it be?
So
Sasquatch.
Something in the that tone. Anyway, it's
famously
coming up. It's
red
fun.
Beast.
The famous red beast.
And you can hop on the Nature Center website for all the details.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The Cup Hop is my favorite. I love it.
Oh, I want to. Yeah. I've got to pull up the fun part and read it too.
That's fine.
Because
this is my favorite cup so far, though. By the way, just so you know.
I think it's a handsome one, actually.
Yeah. I'm really impressed. You're a year ahead on this, though. I mean, I don't know how many marketing meetings you're a year ahead on, Shane.
I can't take credit for this copy because Susan Snyder wrote it, but I think it's really cute. Goes with this year's. Raven mug. How does a common raven take its coffee? Black. Like its feathers, of course. People might need a cup of joe to feel smart in the morning, but common ravens are just that way all the time. One of the cleverest birds in the world, ravens and their cousins crows and jays, can solve puzzles, remember which humans treat them poorly, and plan for the future. They even share information about where to find food with others in their flock. If you think those crows in your neighborhood are talking about you, they probably are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. They're smart birds. So my family goes and I go to Yellowstone every year. And, you know, there's the wolves everyone wants to see, the grizzlies everyone wants to see. But what do we love? The ravens and the bison. You see them every, you can't not see them. You go to a parking lot and they're there.
Right,
kind of both the bison and the ravens, but the ravens are so cool. They're huge birds.
Totally fascinating. I once took a class about the interrelationship between wolves and ravens.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
It's a symbiotic relationship. And when a wolf makes a kill, who takes more meat, the wolf or the raven?
Well, we're supposed to say the wolf.
I'm guessing raven now.
Yeah.
The raven as a pack. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool.
But it's an arrangement.
Do the wolves get upset?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's part of the deal, man. They pick it, right? They do all the picking, but pound for pound.
So maybe the wolf gets like the takeaway is better.
Yeah. But they're, you know, they're part of the hunt. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty cool relationship.
So the wolf gets like the tenderloin and the raven gets the hot dogs kind of a thing.
The flank steak, yeah.
Fair enough.
Partnerships. It's all about partnerships.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
It's all about the partnership. So I had to just bring that little education piece along with my cup because the cup is fun, but the Ogden Nature Center is truly all about nature and education.
All right. So Brandy, this being the very first episode of the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show. So let's get to know you just a little bit. Let's take things back pre Nature Center. Do you remember before Nature Center?
Barely. Do you remember before?
Barely. I've been at the Nature Center longer than anybody ever.
So let's talk about Brandy back in, what was an interesting time for you? What about like, was high school? Was college? What was a really good time for you? Or like, what, did you get in trouble? Were you a good kid?
Do you remember? Say that on the show? Like,
yeah, 100%.
It's in the past. You're fine.
I had some good and some bad. I was a mix.
So like, I was a good kid for the most part. And so like, you got to tell us something.
Come on, Todd. What's the worst thing you did, Todd? Why don't you lead the story?
That's my point. It's all relative, right? So for me, it would have been.
Were you in jail?
I think the first, never been in jail.
Okay. I win.
Never been in a real fist fight. I was accidentally punched a few times.
Accidentally? Or sucker punch?
One was a sucker punch. One was.
I've been in some Mount Ogden Junior High fights, girl fights.
Yeah. Do you take care of yourself or do you?
Can we just have a fight segment on the show and let these go at it for a minute?
No, I want to know who to turn to if things turn, right?
You can count on me, Tom.
Go with Brandy.
I think I would probably.
Yeah, Brandy's tough.
You can count on me. I am tough. She's not going to say I have been through and survived quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, of course. I'll vouch for there's that. No question about that whatsoever. Yep. So let's talk a little bit more about. I just want to get to know you just a little better. And so let's talk. Did you go to college? You went to college.
I went to Weber State. I'm so true.
What did you
school?
What did you study at Weber State?
Communications. And public relations.
You studied. So you knew back then that you'd be good at talking with people. Why did you choose communications?
You know, I just fell into communications. My very first job was, this is so dating me. I ran a typesetting machine that was about as big as this trailer.
Yes.
And pasted and cut copy and graphics and hand colored them for Anderson Lumber.
The old art boards?
The old art boards.
The wax and everything.
And Anderson Lumber had 21 stores. We do their circulars every week. That was my first job out of high school. And
so you were an early influencer is what you're saying.
Yeah. So I actually do know what pixels and and all those things actually look like in reality. Like I'm old school that way. I understand color separations.
Same. My same background. Exactly. Yeah.
That's a nice transition too. You were pre-graphic design, weren't you, Shane?
Oh yeah. I'm a journalism major. I was communications as well. Wanted to go into PR. But where I went to school, it was a 5-year program to go through PR, but journalism was only a 4-year program. And every job I looked at said, oh, you must have a degree in public relations or journalism. But, you know, and it listed it. And I'm like, well, if I can get out of here a year earlier, save the money, get out ahead of my peers and get a job. So I majored in journalism. I never wanted to be Dan Rather. I was never going to be like a hard hitting journalist, but I knew that degree would get me into the PR field. So,
yeah.
So I thought this Old Faithful picture would be a good idea, but really it just looks like a bunch of steams coming out of the top of your head.
My new profile picture.
We'll have to get a straight shot of that. That's fun.
Whoops.
I didn't know that you can't were a journalism win them all. Major?
I knew there was a reason you wanted me to sit here.
Where did you study?
BYU.
Oh my.
Is that right?
Cheers.
Did I know that? Oh, I'll drink to that. Hold on one second. Yeah,
raise a beer if you went to BYU. Yeah. I did that in a bar one night playing a gig down in Salt Lake at Johnny's on Second. Somehow it came up that on stage that I went to BYU, and I said, all right, all the BYU people, raise your beers. And I swear half the bar raised their beers.
So, huh.
Yeah.
How was your experience at BYU?
It was okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, we don't want to go there. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I'm not a
BYU. What about the professors? You learned there?
I had good professors.
Respectable.
Yeah. I got to pick my, as a journalism major, you get to pick your own emphasis that you want to go into. So I picked conservation biology because I wanted to be like an outdoor writer or something, you know. I knew I wanted to be outdoors, hence the whole adventure and arts thing.
You were.
Me and, too. I wanted to be outside.
Yeah, so I got to pick. I'm
sensing a theme here.
I feel
tonight.
We're all okay. Drawn to the trailer.
Well, actually, Shane and I, actually, we are kind of similar because we have the similar professions, and truly, our jobs don't feel like. Can I say it?
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like work. It.
Sarah's
fun.
Not going to watch this.
It's for fun, right?
Like, anybody who's visited Shane at work, it doesn't even look like work when he's there.
And my new boss at the Nature Center, he's fantastic, by the way. He said, how long do I get to keep you? And I said, as long as I'm having fun.
Yep.
That's my answer.
That's a good answer and a good question.
Years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great answer.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't feel like work.
Yep.
Arts and adventure, and then obviously you're both happy with what you do. Did you have a little introduction for Shane? We just
yeah, here's Shane, Osgathorpe.
Steam coming out of my head.
Visit Ogden in the proper way. So
yes. Shane, what's your LinkedIn say? How do you describe yourself?
I don't have a LinkedIn.
Oh, you seriously?
I really don't.
I don't either.
I signed up for it probably 10 years ago, and I still get emails. It's like, hey, so and so asked to follow
That's
you on LinkedIn,
and I'm that
like,
you would use with your job.
I don't remember my password to get into it. I don't even. Never look at it at all.
So. Some of those social media ones are, you know, which ones do you use for what you have, and can you dismiss all of them? I don't know. Yeah. I don't use many of those too much, I'll be honest, but I have enjoyed LinkedIn, and I haven't even used it for job searching. I think it's, I don't know, maybe it just got me re-inspired to look for a better job. Maybe
I feel like it's changed a lot in the last couple of years. Like, the more I hear people talk about it, did you see
is
this on LinkedIn?
I'm
like,
negative?
In a positive way. Positive. I think it's become more actually social rather than just professional. Like look, like you said, looking for jobs.
No, but I will say, there is LinkedIn bro.
there are.
Sure. Oh,
what's that mean?
For sure, LinkedIn bro is the person who knows how to use it to their advantage and posts and I'm doing. Okay, all right. It's the person that has long posts and let me be real here for a minute and then and blah, 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 blah. And then they get all these likes and stuff. It's LinkedIn, bro. They know how to work the system.
That's on LinkedIn.
That's maybe why Shane and I aren't there.
Yeah, I'm not there. I know, like, for our
profession. I mean, it's smart.
Yeah, like, Visit Ogden uses it heavily because, you know, we try to recruit meetings
See,
and conventions
and stuff
here.
See, I thought maybe you guys would. That's why I was surprised.
But I don't personally. Like, our salespeople definitely use it. They're on it every day, reaching out to different people who plan meetings or conventions or conferences to say, hey, you should come have it in Ogden. And so they
If you had a LinkedIn, what would it say? What is your job over there? And what has it become? What is it actually? Like, you probably have a title, I would imagine. And if you had business cards, it would say it on the business card. I don't even know if you have a business card.
I do have a business.
You have a business card?
Yeah, I don't. I have probably 998 of them because they ordered 1,000 of them. And I've probably given 2 away in my career. But
And what has it become? Because I think that you've been there long enough. I don't imagine you just do the one thing.
No. Like, people always joke. They always call me the voice of Ogden. And for a long time, I thought that was because I announced the marathon or I announced Harvest Moon or the big events around town, Xterra, some of those things, as an announcer. And really, I actually have embraced
it now.
Should
have been the Ogden Arts Mayor's Awards in the Arts.
Yeah, I should have emceed
that. We'll talk
that.
About that soon. Yeah.
That'll be coming up, I suppose. no, but I actually wear that title with pride now, not because of my announcing, but because, like, a lot of the outward-facing messaging that paints a picture of Ogden comes out of my head. And when I took the job at Visit
Literally.
Ogden, yeah, like when I took the
but
job.
But you actually do some of the art, too.
I do some of the art as well. But when I first got hired, I told Sarah, I used to own an ad agency with a couple partners, and I finally burned myself out. I just felt dirty all the time selling stuff to people like that they didn't need. Like, I'd write a brilliant ad for a Gore-Tex jacket and they'd ask me to do it again 6 months later. I'm like, people don't need another $500 jacket. The one they just bought is still good. I started to feel dirty about pushing things on people. And so it timed out right. I left and I focused on music for about a year, just wrote and played and just did my thing. And then when Sarah said, we want to bring our marketing in-house at Visit Ogden, I kind of perked up, kind of like you're talking about getting re-energized. I'm like, now that's a product I could sell because I love it. I live it. I wouldn't feel dirty telling people that it's a great place. But the one thing I told Sarah when I started, I said, I just want to be honest. I'm not going to promise a Disneyland experience to a visitor that comes here because we are not Disneyland. We've got grit and we've got, you know, we're very blue collar town. At least when I started, you know, that's where we were. And she said, that's exactly why we want you to do this, because we want to just tell our real story. And so,
see, people, honesty pays off sometimes.
And so I love telling people.
The photos that we see on Visit Ogden, are they all yours or are they?
No, the photos? Back in the day, probably 10 years ago, most of them were. Okay. But then there's so many brilliant photographers around. So I could just name them. If I started naming them, we'd be here forever. But
and you leave one out.
I know, and I'd feel bad. But, and you all know who they are. You work with the same ones, you know, Cam McLeod and Darcy. I started naming them. We're just going to leave it alone.
Yeah. Son of a...
But a lot of the visuals now, and a lot of it's actually user-generated. People just getting out in the community and shooting these great shots. And we use a platform called CrowdRiff that lets us see everything that's getting posted around.
What's it called?
CrowdRiff. Yeah, and anything, it's geo and partner tags, all that stuff. Anything, and it doesn't have to be tagged. It knows this was shot in your area. You should be aware of it. So every day, like some people get on Instagram, they surf through like all the crap and some of the good stuff, whatever. I can go on CrowdRiff and just look at all the best stuff that has been photographed in Ogden in the last 24 hours. And I do that every day. And when we find one we like, we reach out to that creator and we say, hey, can we use your photo? And we tell them how. It's like, we either just want to repost it or, hey, we'd love to buy this from you and use it in our marketing or whatever. So these days I'm not as photo heavy as I used to be, but
cool.
I just love telling the honest story of Ogden. Just like this, who we are. And if you don't like us, don't come here, please. We don't want you here if you don't like us.
I was upset when people would sell Ogden as a destination for adventure, because I looked at it more as a place to live and have adventures locally and train for big adventures to travel to.
Yeah. Kind of like Cam McLeod, not to name names, but you know.
That was two Cam drops in the last minute, by the way.
He just is top of mind right now.
All right, so I want to backfill just a little bit, to fill in a couple blanks from your story there. So you work with Visit Ogden, and so give me like a teeny little elevator pitch of what Visit does, and then let us know some of the things that Visit does that we would have no idea.
Well, I would say when I started, it was just get heads in beds.
Heads in beds is what I've always heard.
Get people to come here, spend night in a hotel. We take their transient room tax. And
do you get a bonus on that, Shane?
I don't. Okay. Our salespeople do if they bring in the right groups.
But. And y'all can track all that.
Yeah. And so it used to just be getting heads in beds. But obviously, as the world changes and everything, we were more about sustainability now. We recognize we could overuse these natural resources. We could overcrowd this town. We could. And so we focus a lot now on, okay, let's make sure the right people come here. And that sounds kind of exclusionary, but it doesn't mean to be. It's just like, look, let's bring the people here who recognize the magic that we have here and that will help take care of it as well, rather than just exploit it. And nice. So sustainability has become really a big thing with our office now. So
how does Visit make money?
We are funded out of transient room tax. We're under a contract from Weber County.
Okay.
They collect, if you know, every time you check into a hotel, you think it's a, you know, $89 a night hotel, but when you end up paying the bill, it's $109. And a good chunk of that is transient room tax. Okay.
Shane needs a salary.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm really happy to hear that shift.
Yeah.
Because forever I have said, when do we stop measuring success on
numbers,
higher and higher numbers, but rather on health.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just plain health.
And that's really where, we're lucky we have the foresight now. We can see communities like Sedona or Moab or some of those that really got overloved, got overcrowded to where they just went, this is enough. You know, we're done with it.
Do you visit with those communities?
Absolutely. Yeah. All the time. Our colleagues and that's what's really interesting that I love about this industry of the tourism industry is it's not competitive. It's very collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can look at a Park City or a Moab and say, oof, look what they did. We don't want to fall into that trap. And so we have the benefit of being about 10, 20 years behind some of these communities and say, all right, let's put the pieces in place now so that we don't overload our infrastructure, so that we don't overcrowd our city, so that we don't burn up our wilderness. You know, let's take care of it. And so we're in a really enviable position. A lot of people have been out in front of it and having to take those hits, and we can look back and just learn the lessons from them and go, oof, let's not do that.
So talk about real quick, because a lot of the sales point for Ogden was the adventure side for a long time. Yeah. Is it shifting more towards the arts?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We just, and this is a nice tie-in. So just while I was out of town this last week, I was applying for EDA grants. And one of them is for an economic impact study of the arts in Ogden to understand the impact that the arts has. I mean, we're sitting here.
And this is no small grant. This is no, a sizable grant.
$100,000 grant to do an economic impact study. Say, does art bring people here? Does it bring the right people here? Do they take care of it like we want them to take care of it?
How do you track that? Because say like small, like we'll pull people in from out of town to do a podcast here. How do you get stats on that? Like, how does that work?
It's a clicker. It's just a clicker. Just ask every person that comes in and out.
Just old school.
Okay. And there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
We're watching everything. Okay. No, but it's it is like that's no lie. We watch mobile phone data that move.
Are you serious?
We can watch the mobile phones in our community where they move, where they go, where
it's we're geofence.
Yeah, we can see if we're overcrowding an area and say, okay, this trail is being overloved. Let's send some people in another direction, and we can send, you know, whether it's social or whatever, it's like, hey, maybe try this trail instead.
Okay,
we can spread them around, but it's really interesting the way technology has been able to overlay on that stuff. But anyway,
the arts in Ogden.
Oh yeah, and you ask how you figure that out. I have no idea, and that's why we're going to get a $100,000 grant to get people who can figure that out. It's like, I mean, we're sitting here at the Monarch, and right across the street is a major installation from a world-renowned sculptor that's over at the Dumke Arts Plaza, you know? Does that bring people here? Because I want to see the Shekiah Booker installation in Ogden. They come here, they spend a night, they explore the town, they go to our restaurants, then they leave. And we take that transient room tax, that restaurant tax, that, you know, sales tax that they pay, and we shovel our, you know, we plow our roads, we take care of our garbage, we educate our kids, and it's not out of our pocket. It's out of a visitor's pocket. Because they just come and then they leave.
So explain why, because I was always adverse to visitors being a local. And that's probably...
This is the whole part that drives me nuts. And so I'm actually curious to hear what you have to say on that.
Well, it's just that is like, oh, you know, everyone hates on visitors. And it's like, oh, so why should we not hate on visitors to Ogden?
My elevator pitch for that one is that if you break it down, if you go to any restaurant, any of our independently owned restaurants downtown... And you can look at the Visa transactions and where they're from and whatever. And we 50% of our restaurant business is from people who don't live in Ogden.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the question becomes, okay, if you want visitors to go away and never come here again, which half of our restaurants do you want shut down? It's even more than that for skiers. You know, 60-70% are out-of-town skiers. Okay, which of our three resorts do you want to completely close, or which half of Snow Basin do you just want to shut down, or which half of
Mountain Well, that would be nice. I'm just...
Maybe, but no, I mean,
I just want the place to myself, but that's
don't we all? Yeah. But the fact is those dollars are what make for the quality of life that we have. Okay. I mean, and the visitor economy is about 10% of Weber County's overall economy. It doesn't sound big, but when you look at the areas that it really impacts, you know, restaurants, ski resorts, nature center, dinosaur park. So the cool things that we really like to enjoy having around here are mostly funded by people coming from out of the area, visiting them and then leaving. And so you ask yourself, okay, which 50% of our restaurants would you like to board up now to get rid of the visitors?
So is that a hard, do you think about that when you're marketing? Like, how do I inform the locals that this is a good thing?
Yeah, that is one of my top priorities right now, is to better communicate with the community so they understand. In the past, we'd always use the number like $1,300. So like, the visitor economy offsets the tax burden of the average Utahn by about $1,300
or $1,400.
Oh, wow. And that speaks to them.
Yeah. It does, except unless you live in Ogden Valley and you're like, I'd rather pay the $1,500 and not have them here.
I got that under my cushions.
So we've stopped putting the monetary thing on it and just try to, and that's why I focus on that percentage based thing. It's like, okay, you don't want them here. Half your restaurants are gone because they exist because of that. They support that, you know, and so most people say, well, I don't want half my favorite restaurants gone. I'd like them all to stay. Well, then you got to put up with some visitors. You might have to wait an extra 5 minutes for your table.
And you know, living in two cities, I will say, having visitors come and go beats the drum of massive amounts of people all the time.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. Can you have too many visitors?
Yeah, you can. Okay. Their over-visitation is definitely a thing. Look at... You know, Barcelona and some of those cities that they have absolutely backlashed. It's Sedona locally, just down.
So you have to crush it at your job, just not too much.
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay. Well, what, wasn't that a big issue balance. With the national parks, those campaigns?
Yeah. Yep, the Mighty Five campaign best evolved into
ever.
The... Yeah.
It did its job.
It was the best ever because it was so successful that we overloaded our parks. And if you look at the campaign that came after it, it was called Road to Mighty. Oh, visit these outlying areas just outside the parks. Yeah. Go to the state parks, you know? And that's where they put the emphasis. And
then that sort of leads to an interesting question, too, because even if you were to slow down or try to strategically, you know, kind of slow that message, as highly cranked as social media and selfie world is, it's everyone's already doing that, right? They're sharing and they don't just go to a place without taking a picture of themselves in it. And of course, somebody wants to recreate that shot or they want to go visit it on their own. You know?
I wrote a blog within the last 6 months that one of the elements of it was ditch the hashtag. Don't tag this place. Come find it yourself, discover it on your own. Don't tell the whole world where it is. Let it still be a thing you can discover. It doesn't have to be publicized to the whole world all the time.
Take a lesson from the fly fisher.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
they don't tell anybody where their best holes are.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, so small little transition. I thought a good way to sort of introduce ourselves as hosts to this brand new show. I brought up
who
LinkedIn.
Are you guys anyway? I don't even know who
so
you are.
So my name's Todd Obendorfer.
I'm going to crack a beer while he's talking.
Are you Todd at the top anymore? Did you ditch? I noticed Todd at the top was not.
You noticed that.
Is that part Todd of the rebranding? Todd at the top will be just amongst friends at this point. But you can call me that. That's
so sad. That's so sad.
And so while I pull up my, I thought I would just read my LinkedIn little bio. And I thought
that's why you're asking everybody.
And so while I do that,
I'll crack my beer.
No, I need you to find a bio. Just find of you. So if it's LinkedIn, it's on the online.
All right.
I don't even care what it is. So I'm gonna
I'll go to my LinkedIn.
Just quick write one, Brandon.
Mine's pretty out of
I might have to.
You'll find that mine's out of date too. So I'll have to update this on the fly. And so I have
And what kind
first
of trouble
of all,
did
have
you get
good,
into in high school?
I didn't walk.
I got
that much.
I was in a relationship when I was like 16. That was like the dumbest thing I could have possibly done.
She was 25. But
she was younger.
I just read.
That's my biggest regret is just that. Like I missed that whole high school part because I was in a little codependent little relationship that didn't last. And
I hear you.
And so that kept me from getting into trouble, but also kept me from getting into trouble and experiencing. And so I think when that relationship finally, you know, petered out, then that's, I tried to recapture all of that, right? And so I think that I was probably
like still
dancing like still? In like my 20s when people were doing that as late teens. And meaning I think I was trying to recreate that youth.
That's why you're a young soul.
I'm a young soul. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I'm minimum 10 years
younger.
Super
interesting past. Like
I know.
I mean,
you should just do a
whole
series of podcasts.
Keep listening to every episode. You'll hear it all.
Okay, let's hear your LinkedIn.
All right, so I first want to point out I do have a photo on there from a podcast that we did as OOA with Simon. What was the snowshoe artist?
Simon Dumont, the sculptor.
The
snowshoe.
Yeah, did snowshoe art. Yeah,
Dumont.
Simon Dumont, right?
Simon something.
Simon.
I thought it was Dumont.
I follow him regularly.
Dumont is
I'll
way
find
too.
It. I did it's those. Simon. I have pictures of me doing those.
Like, anyway, this is up at. Was this up at Powder?
Oh yeah, it's Sky Lodge. I
the Sky Lodge.
That.
Yeah, it was a great place to podcast, and he was amazing and ridiculous and everything. And I think the other, my basic profile pic is one of my favorite pics from
Simon Beck.
Beck. Yeah, that's it. Good
Who's
job.
Simon Dumont?
You can call him LeBec if you need to.
That's Google Simon Beck's snow art. It is quite.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And this is the photo that either Brandon or probably you guys, one of you guys took when we used to podcast regularly at Slackwater.
Yeah, I recognize that.
Oh, I remember podcasting at Slackwater.
I like
that was
that
a long
photo.
Time
that
ago.
That is pure joy on my face. That's why how hard it is for me to find like a photo of like, oh, look how happy
that was
I
fun.
Look.
We had pizza.
Even Slackwater's not there anymore. See, everything changes.
I know, true.
It all changes, doesn't it? We should do an episode at Slackwater. At the empty Slackwater.
Yeah.
We'll bring our own table.
Yeah.
I think it's still empty over there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still empty.
Yeah, we want to set it up. Okay, Todd Obendorfer. Oh, this is already outdated. Todd Obendorfer is the Arts Outreach Manager and Advisor for the Department of Visual Art and Design at Weber State University. All right, I'm no longer there.
So you don't use LinkedIn as much as you said.
Jeez, I thought this would be.
You better give us the current version, Todd.
So I'll update that. So as of about 5 weeks ago, I now work for the Salt Lake City Arts Council. And so I am the Visual Arts program coordinator. Essentially, I work for the city. A business development is what I work under.
Is that a city in Utah? I've never heard of it.
Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
It's just...
hey, did you hear the referee for the Utah Jazz say the foul was on the Salt Lake City team?
Really?
Last night, wow. Yeah.
That's really funny.
Because we have a team in Ogden? Like, what?
Okay, so I'm going to skip through a part of this, obviously, now. Todd was the recipient of the Arts Advocacy Award for the 2019 Ogden City Mayor's Awards for the Arts. That ties in with our Mayor's Award thing we just did.
Yep.
Oberndorfer is a founding member of the Banyan Collective Media Company. That hasn't changed. Host of the Nine Rails Arts Podcast, co-host of Van Sessions, which we'll talk about later, which is a live audience podcast and music series that we do, and the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, which is completely outdated now. That is not the case, but we are still a weekly podcast.
You got to rewrite the whole
thing. You're reading about a different person now.
This is horrible. Okay, so, but this is real right here. Todd is a past chairperson of the Ogden City Arts Advisory Committee, current member of the Ogden City Arts Public Art Subcommittee, which I still am, as well as the Ogden City Arts Grant Subcommittee,
which is
a great subcommittee.
Thank you
well.
For your work on that.
So I'm still, I think I'm just an at-large seat now, but I'm still, we had a meeting this morning. Frequent collaborator and consultant with Weber State University, which I still am, Ogden City Arts, Ogden Downtown Alliance, Historic 25th Street. I didn't put Visit Ogden in here.
You should add Visit Ogden.
Visit Ogden, I'll Summit Powder Mountain.
What do you do for Visit?
Member of the Shire.
Yeah, we collaborate.
He's
over
just very supportive
beers.
Of what I do.
Okay.
I think over beers, that counts, doesn't it? Union Creative Agency, Ogden Contemporary Arts. And then Todd is currently pursuing a Master of Arts in Arts Administration. That has now
done.
Happened.
Yes.
Congrats.
As of about
Cheers.
4 or 5 weeks ago.
Rewrite this thing. Yeah. You have to rewrite this thing.
Wow.
You get to learn a little bit about the past.
Wait, apparently. This is your yes. current LinkedIn?
It's not 5 weeks is not that bad. I do hold a BFA in 2D design and printmaking, combined social activism and art, addressing issues such as clean air, population growth, and income inequality in my printmaking and graphic design work. So, fellow graphic designer.
Yeah.
Did you know I did that?
I did not. I did it. Well, yes, I've seen your posters and stuff. Yeah. You know.
And I still do all the branding.
You did the Van Sessions logo on the hat, right?
All the
He's actually
branding.
Pretty
all
damn
it.
Good.
It's
I know.
Great.
Did you say actually? Did you throw that
actually?
Actually.
Actually.
Anyway, so basically what I'm saying, the importance of LinkedIn, it's staying really up to date.
Yeah.
On that information.
Yeah. Apparently.
Boy, all
I don't even
job
know.
Offers.
So I'm looking at my LinkedIn, and I don't know how to put a bio.
So you don't even have a bio.
No.
So you're going to have to free whatever that's called. What's that? You're
I
just
going
to have to come up with it.
What is your bio
the
on the Ogden City Arts
okay,
page say?
Thank
you got
you.
That?
Thank you. I do have that.
You should read all three of ours off
and
that.
It's really
You should
that.
Be on that. You should just have your own bio.
The archive.
I roped these two into it.
Yeah.
I was the original chair.
That's right.
That's how old I am.
Oh, we can blame you.
I think I joined. Weren't you still there when I joined?
I probably roped all three of you
yeah,
into
I think
it.
You
I was told that Brian suggested my name.
I don't know who it was. But.
Okay.
Brian Smith?
Yes.
I was the chair back when.
Yeah.
Yes, I followed you.
I think you were the chair when I came on. Yeah.
And Brandon's is a past chair as well.
I was a two-timer.
Two-timer chair.
Two-time chair.
And
I went back to back only because the person who followed me left.
Oh, that's right.
So, that's a reason why, I guess. Yeah. So what's your bio say?
Okay, the Ogden Arts one's really old.
Okay.
R, Brandon Long. Is a founding member of the Banyan
Collective. Okay, so here's a quick question to interrupt that. So every now and again, we do see our Brandon Long come up. So what does that mean? That means like, right?
Renegade.
Renegade?
Rogue.
Rogue. It's personal.
It's personal. Fair enough.
R is my first name.
Right, of course.
Robert. Uh-huh. My dad's name was Robert, who died when I was 4.
See, this is information.
He died of leukemia. He served in Vietnam as a medic stationed in Thailand. And so as a shout out to my dad and also a shout out to those who should probably donate money to leukemia foundations all over are Brandon Long.
Nice.
I thought Robert.
Did you go by Brandon your whole life, though, or did you used to go by Robert?
I was in elementary school when they said, like, you got to choose a name because I would have Bob, Bobby, yeah. Brandon, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, you got to choose a name. And then finally I chose Brandon. But then later, as I was in like high school and in my early 20s, I thought Rob Long is a great porn name. And so if I ever,
Listen, he's got a point.
Hey, put that on your LinkedIn. We're going to talk porn names. I get to say a few words. Yeah.
you interrupt any wait. Old time.
Yeah, wait. If you have one, you know, let us know.
So, well, I do.
Okay.
My sister's names are beautiful. Paige Monique and Brooke Monette. Beautiful names.
Yes.
Somehow, I got the hooker name.
Which is?
Brandy Jo.
Brandy Jo.
And I don't want to, like, I don't, I mean, no disrespect, but I did live in Vegas for a long time. That kind of sounds like a Vegas hooker name.
Yeah, kinda. It's like a, Brandy you Joe. Know, dancer name or something. But a Vegas come on, mom name. And dad, Paige Monique, Brooke Monette, Brandy Jo.
Wow. Well, to bring it full circle, my first name is actually Joseph. Joe. My dad's name was Joe.
Okay.
My grandfather, my great grandfather. There's so many Josephs that I went with Shane. So I got the same thing on the first day of school. They're like, Joseph, do you want to go by Joe, Joey, Joseph? I said, Shane.
And do they respect that right away?
Oh,
they
cool but no one could figure out because it's usually it's like, hey, Robert Anderson. Oh, I go by Bobby. Okay, you know. And so they'd get to Joseph. And they're like, Joe, do you go by Joe, Joey? I go by Shane. They're like, how do you get Shane out of Joseph? I'm like, name.
Yeah, when people How say Robert, come. Yeah, when, you know, Robert, your prescription's ready. I have no idea who they're talking to.
You're looking around for a Robert.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Like, oh, that's.
Were you a Bobby for a little while though? Did like
for like 10 minutes in elementary school?
Like young.
Yeah, I have those papers that you draw your hand, you trace your hand, and then it's a Bobby Long. Yeah.
Oh,
so Bobby I had Long. Two options. It was either. I was left field for the Mets.
I was gonna say Bobby Long's an athlete name.
Yeah, Bobby Long is my sports name, or Rob Long was my porn name.
It could be a musician name though too. Rob Long sounds like a guitar player or something.
That's That's, is that bass?
Bass actually?
Probably a bass player. Yeah.
Okay, well I didn't get very far on my introduction.
Keep going on. Keep going on your bio.
Founding member of the Banning Collective and host and producer of the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. Graduated from Weber State University with degrees in creative writing and photography, where he uses his talents to document and promote the outdoors and arts in and around Ogden, Utah. Brandon works full-time as a content marketer for Mountain Real Estate Co.
Hey, that was a job you had for a while.
I did do that, yeah. Wow.
Do you still do a little bit of work for them every now and then, don't they? Or are you done?
None.
But let's find out what you did there. Like, what was your niche? What did you do best?
I tore.
What did you write that probably not everybody could write with Mountain West?
You try Mountain
Luxury. Sorry.
You try writing something unique about every damn
house in Ogden Valley.
Valley.
But particular houses, like, you know,
they're beautiful. They're multi-million-dollar houses.
But that's when they brought you in specifically, wasn't it? And didn't they continue that relationship?
I learned words like porte cochere.
There you go.
Doesn't everyone have one of those?
We don't in the terrace. I'm just going to throw that out there.
We don't have those in the terrace.
No, I
never. That's funny.
Yeah, so I learned new words.
New vocabulary.
You wrote fancy blurbs, basically. You wrote some.
That was my job. I got to tour all the beautiful homes in Ogden Valley and write about them. It wasn't the worst gig, trust me.
Yeah.
It was my pitch to start Mountain Luxury Magazine that they still produce. Andy is still there. He's a graphic designer, marketing coordinator now, and he does a phenomenal job. They still produce the magazine, and it's
the video
it says here
doing it good.
Where he also serves as editor for Mountain Luxury Collection Magazine at the time.
Yeah.
On weekends, Brandon can be found emceeing local races. Hey, shout out Shane.
Yeah. Events. Welcome to the Ogden Marathon.
DJing weddings. What's your phrase for me? I got the head, you get the ass in the Ogden Marathon.
That's right.
DJing weddings or exploring Ogden's outdoor playground with family. That's not what I did for the. So I started, I worked Gear 30. Mountain Luxury was like a break in the middle. And then I went back to Gear 30 where I was the general manager, marketing director and general manager. And I recently quit that to be a professional podcaster. And I need to wear that shirt. It says pro podcaster on it.
Where is that shirt?
I don't have it. I got to order one.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. That's what I do. That's but my bio is.
Hey, it got you the job.
Yeah. What does my bio say on the Ogden?
Oh, you got to pull
page?
That up.
Okay. Yeah. I'll find it.
See if it says voice
sure.
of Ogden on there. If it doesn't, we're rewriting it.
I don't
it
think
too.
It says that. Yeah.
I don't think that they probably pulled those and updated those in a long time.
No.
Shane Osgathorpe is an Ogden-based singer-songwriter who has called the area home for the last 25 years, grew up in Park City, Utah, where they smoke a lot of dope, and earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in communications with an emphasis in journalism from Brigham Young University. Mm-hmm. By day, he functions
function. Barely.
Period.
Especially after those long nights in Park City.
Barely functions.
By day, he functions as the marketing director for Visit Ogden, attracting meetings, conventions, and conferences, businesses, and leisure travelers to Weber County. By night, this is where it gets good, folks.
Ooh, don't tell what
he is
at night.
A stripper. He takes the stage. stripper.
Under the name Brandy
name?
Joe.
What's your stripper name?
Yeah, no, he's actually the announcer for the Toolbox. It takes the stage as a solo artist, a member of a popular duo, The Proper Way.
Which is now a trio. It's way outdated.
Or a member of various bands as a lead singer, guitarist, and or keyboardist.
And or.
Shane.
You can't do them both at the same time. You can, yeah.
Yeah. Storyteller by nature. And sometimes he sits in nature and tells stories. And it comes through in his original songs, Weather, Stripped Naked, Down, Laments, or Upbeat Tales in a unique style he calls Cheatgrass. Bluegrass instrumentation played in a more Americana style. So whatever that means.
Yeah. Wow, we all need to update some things. Yeah. So I have to really quickly, we've all in the past, this is kind of an old game, did that porn star name, but I had a really good one. That was the first Streets You Were Born.
How the hell does Todd Obendorfer have
a No. It's
your first cat.
First animal. Well, and for me, it was a first pet. So it was like the first pet. I like the cat. First pet and the first street you were born on. And so mine was Patches St. Williams.
Mine was Leo Montague.
Liam? Oh,
no, I have a good one. My first cat was Mrs. Sloopy, and I lived on Douglas Street, so Mrs. Sloopy Douglas.
Sloopy Douglas.
Sloopy Douglas.
I like the Mrs. too, because there's like an air of authority.
And it's for real. I'm not making it up. That's the truth. That's a good one.
Okay, well, we've learned a lot here today, folks.
You're going to fix this all in post,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
Just thinking the same
We're
thing.
Doubling all of this. This is good information.
We had updates. In other words, there's a snowboard film upstairs tonight. There's one tomorrow night. This airs tonight or on Wednesday, so... there's a snowboard film at the Arbor Lodge, and that is brought to you by Gear 30. That's a Matchsticks Productions film, and the proceeds will benefit the Powder Mountain Ski Patrol. So did you know that those ski patrol at Powder Mountain, some get paid, some are volunteer, and so this goes to help supplement the volunteer ski patrol up at Powder Mountain. Also, did an 8-year-old actually climb El Cap? No. So you saw in the media that an 8-year-old climbed El Cap. That is not actually true. The dad sort of Jumar'd his ass up that thing. And so there was some pushback, but the dad said, look, I'm proud of my kid.
Do people he care still about had that to stuff?
Well,
I mean, trying to rob him of that.
The reason they care is because the headline in the media was 8-year-old climbs El Cap. And that's
why. And there's no assumption the dad's involved at all.
Just one day. Just went out and was like, dude, peace out, Dad. I'm going to go climb El Cap. And he did
it.
It's
like an 8-year-old Alex Honnold.
That's the assumption. And so they were like, yeah, that's bullshit.
We need to clarify that.
And so Dad was like, look, no, I never said that's what he did, blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, because.
How much is a permit even for that? I mean, it's got to be.
Well, you can just go climb it. I think you can just go.
We're going to give you that information.
You're going to have to fix that in post.
Yeah.
That'll be a sign that we don't have the answer right now.
I thought you could just go climb it, but I don't know.
Listen, they have to have permit or there'd be 8-year-olds all over the side of it.
I'd be crawling with 8-year-olds.
Nobody wants that.
They're special.
Nobody wants that.
Half the 8-year-olds can't even read the permit, so it's... Also, as far as films go, there's a new film from Ski Utah that is called Fixed Grip Chronicles selection or whatever, but it highlights Beaver Mountain, which is pretty cool.
Ski Utah produced it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's really nice, too. I mean, I can play a little something here, maybe if it comes up here. Yeah, here we go. Fixed Grip Chronicles Beaver Mountain by Ski Utah. So it's on their Ski Utah YouTube page.
What are we seeing right now?
Dropped like 6 minutes ago. So you're seeing a person in a cat.
I did any kind of lift maintenance. My dad dropped me off on top of the dream lift with a bucket with rags in it and a grease gun and said, work your way to the bottom. Climbed a big tower and we had no walkways. I mean, not a hint of fall protection, obviously. remember I was shaking. I was sitting out there, and my dad's gone. He said, "See you at the bottom." And that's kind of the school of hard knocks here at Beaver Mountain.
So it's a cool little film. It highlights they are the longest owned family mountain in the United States, I believe.
Wow, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Have you got any of your music in the background of these kind of videos yet?
Maybe, I don't know.
I want to watch one of these one day on the show and just hear like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
I recognize that.
No, but they did have music in the background of the Nine Rails Arts podcast at one
time.
That's
true. Yeah. We used to be the intro song.
They are permanently attached to those episodes.
Todd, what do we got for the arts updates?
Okay, the Utah Division of Arts and Museums, UDAM does a statewide, this is redundant because I just said it, yearly, annual exhibition. All right. And so if you were in the studio right now, which you're invited to, by the way. I don't know if we've officially invited.
So with the new format, doors are open.
They're literally open. Wide open. I almost shut them. And
the, like, the speakers are on. You can come hang out with us during the live recording. Now
you probably didn't know tonight because the invitation is now.
And I don't know if we're going to do this live or not, but maybe we will. But you can come hang out, and especially if you're a guest on the show.
Because Tuesdays?
The speakers are out, and you just come hang out any Tuesday at 5.
Tuesday
if you're
5.
At the Monarch Building, come listen to the new live recording of the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show.
And I'm not saying that there'll be definitely snacks and some, like a beverage.
But or beverages. A good chance. But there's a really good chance.
Well, there's a really, really good chance. So I say be there.
Just trying to make a nice slurp sound and I inhaled it. Sorry.
Anyway, so the UDAM, UDAM has put together this annual exhibition since 1899. Oh, my God.
What?
Look at that.
1899.
Annual juried exhibition that presents a survey of current outstanding visual arts or artists in Utah through three rotating themes.
Wait, stop. Todd, will you bring your microphone down a little bit? It's pointing right at your eye.
My eye sounded really good.
Yeah. Well, your eye sounds good, but visually, it just looks weird.
Just missing. We were
See,
you're always thinking about me.
I'm looking out for you.
You want to get the shot. Three rotating themes, painting, sculpture, and installation, mixed media and works on paper and craft, and then photo, video, and digital. And so this year, if you've checked it out, the opening, you missed the grand opening was this past Friday, but it is in Ogden Contemporary Arts, which is in the Monarch Building. So each year they choose one location in the state of Utah, and they chose Ogden this year. So what do you guys think of that?
Sweet. We got to check it out.
We got it going on, man.
So the opening of it was, like I said, Friday. Some of the artists were there, so you missed that. Sorry we didn't tell you about it sooner.
How long is it here?
So I have a date on that. Let's see. I set that down. It is, hold please, November 4th through January 6th. So you have got a couple months to get through that one.
Cool.
We'll put a link in the bio if you want to look up the list of artists, a whole bunch of artists on there. Best of show got $1,000 prize, so that's nice.
Wait, link in what bio?
Not in the bio, a link in the blog. Did I say bio?
Yeah.
We've kind of been talking about bios.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you fix that?
Not in post.
People can Google it. It'll be fine.
Just Google that one. And if you haven't been to Ogden Contemporary Arts, it's in the Monarch. The address is 455 25th Street. And, of course, this is in the heart of the Nine Rails Creative District in Ogden, Utah.
And where do you park?
All sorts of good parking.
Good
okay, so
did you have trouble parking?
Good question,
yeah? So the Monarch Building does have a parking lot. You'll know you're there if you're surrounded by this beautiful mural with monarch butterflies. And if that parking lot is full, then turn around and go directly across the street. And there is another parking lot that the Monarch patrons can use. That's just below, what's the name of those apartments?
Is it the Jefferson apartment?
No, it's
I was hoping I had the name for that. Anyway, I can't miss it. Directly across,
it's across
25th
Street. Yeah.
Right? And if those are
Peary
full.
The Peary Lofts, is that those are called? The Peary Lofts.
Yeah. Nicely done. Gosh.
That's an Ogdenite for you.
It's almost like I know downtown Ogden a little bit.
That's an Ogdenite for you.
Pre-Google.
We used to have to call Shane all the time for these answers. Yeah.
What else did I want to talk about today? I wanted to remind everybody, this gets released on Wednesday, but today as we're recording is election day. And so the point that I wanted to make is the importance of Now, we didn't have any initiatives necessary to vote for as far as the arts goes, but just know the importance of being involved and the importance of arts in Utah. And I found, you ran across my notes earlier, Shane, I wanted to tell you a couple stats, and you know this information probably with what you do, but some of this information was really nice. Okay,
what was that, Shane?
I was wondering if he's going to quiz me.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about so we're looking at the state's GDP. What would you guys guess arts and culture represents? So that whole sector.
Like percentage?
Yep. Give me a percentage.
12. No,
yeah,
7.
We're lower.
Like 6.
I was going to say
3.5. 3.5. Oh, but okay. That number also represents $6.8 billion. That's a B, right?
Wow.
So that's no joke. And so they listed just a couple things, you know, below that just in comparison. And so utilities in the state of Utah represents $2.9 billion. Mining in Utah consists of $3.3 billion. And so where we put our money is important.
What's the biggest percentage?
Those are the ones that were listed. So
government.
Okay. Let's do that.
But you know what? What's even more important than the numbers and yes. art, the importance of arts, is it brings the happy.
Quality of life, yeah.
It
quality of life.
The happy. It brings the music.
It brings
the visual. It brings the good feels. And it brings the happy.
I think basically I wanted to bring that up because in this show, we'll be talking occasionally about the importance of arts in Ogden, obviously, and what we do with the Ogden City Arts Advisory Committee and the arts grant program that we offer as well. Yeah. And so, for instance, this last year, we awarded, how much money was it, Shane? This was sort of a special year for us.
It was going to be, $100,000?
$100,000.
And then when the city council saw the amount of great projects that were
proposed, they said we can do better.
They said we can do better, and they bumped it by, another $60,000?
Something like that,
Nice.
One last thing I wanted to mention is a quick reminder. Start keeping an eye out for the dates and the deadlines for Sundance. I know it's at the end of January, but some of those initial packages start going on sale right now. If you are a Sundance person, you don't wait to the last minute. So you do a little pre-thinking, then you don't get wrapped up in all the craziness later on.
And also, guess what went on sale? BAMP tickets.
Oh, really?
Touring. Yeah. For a period.
Is it in February again?
Yes.
It's usually Valentine's weekend. Is that what it is?
Oh, fun.
I haven't looked.
It's usually pretty close to Valentine's weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, and a little local arts bit at the Ogden Nature Center.
Yes.
On December 2nd and 3rd, we have our annual holiday open house. Fresh evergreen swags and centerpieces, lots of green growy stuff, great gifts in the gift shop. But we invite a whole host of local artists to sell their wares on those 2 days. And so you're buying local and you're buying art for
you. Not your underwears.
Christmas present.
Your wares.
Just your wares.
Just your regular wares.
Your wares. It's an old-fashioned word for goods.
How's the marketplace? How's your shop looking?
Artsy goods.
That's the place to go for gifts.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
It really is. It's dreamy.
Any standouts? Anything that you've already purchased?
It's over dreamy. At the Nature Center? Oh, gosh. We have, it sounds kind of cliche, but we really do have the cutest ornaments. We have some really good clothing.
Oh, slow down on the decaf over there. That's what
Oh, boy. I knew that was going to come up. It's just a great shop. We've got toys, puzzles, lots of books, some written by local authors, trail guides, flora and fauna guides, lots of really good stocking stuffers, great stuff for children. If you have a nature lover on your list, you have to come to the Ogden Nature Center's gift shop. It's fantastic.
I love unique outdoorsy gifts. That's fantastic.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so
local.
Brandy, Shane.
Yes.
This is the new format. Feedback?
Well, I feel like we might have rambled a little bit.
Yeah, I'm ready to just pause the recording of the podcast and just keep chatting with y'all.
Exactly.
Good.
These are our people.
We caught a snapshot there. That's what it's like to hang out with us.
That's sort of the point. Yeah, we want to bring that home so that people can see behind the scenes and what we talk about with our friends. And we just bring them on the podcast.
And sometimes the conversations go left and right.
And right.
Up and down.
And we talk about porn names. But whatever.
And read 10-year-old bios from our LinkedIn.
Glad we got all that in.
And that is not going to be the last time these subjects come up.
All right. Well, we do have we're going to keep the outdoor jukebox. So we'll get to that here in a second. But thank you to Banyan One, which is where we are here today, inside the Monarch Building, for powering today's episode of the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show. Listen and subscribe to Ogden Arts and Adventure. So we are on YouTube. It's the old Ogden Outdoor Adventure one. And if you go to it right now, there's 10-year-old to 12-year-old videos of when I would waltz across town and interview people who were doing fun things in the outdoors.
That's awesome.
There's a video of myself and another person climbing the Willard Waterfall.
Nice.
And then we did an Arc'teryx review also at the waterfall. Those are up on the same YouTube page.
The archives.
Man. Yeah, that was 12 years ago, which is wild. There's stuff from 2010 and 2011 up there. And then we didn't post a video until this one goes up, whenever this one goes up. So look for us on Facebook. It is now Ogden Arts and Adventure, no longer Ogden Outdoor Adventure.
We hear this Facebook and this YouTube are going to like...
eventually
it's
take
off. It's the future, y'all.
Mm-hmm. And so we figure we'll get on board 12 years into it. So.
While we wait for Twitter to figure stuff out, we'll be on Facebook and Instagram for a minute. We are also, though, on... so it's the same feed. So if you follow Ogden Outdoor Adventure on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, it's the same feed. We're not changing any of that. On the same blog on thebandingcollective.com as well. So, and you can DM us at Ogden Adventure still on Instagram if you want to be a part of the program or just say hi to us. So we got to hang out in a driveway, old school van session style with John Calvin Abney.
It was a great night.
That was amazing. Shane was there. Shane, what do you remember? Anything about that night?
I think we should have asked that question at the beginning of the
question right there. No, it was a beautiful night. And I don't mean to drag your podcast out too long, but like the arts in Ogden has become so important and so huge. You always used to say on your show, broadcasting from the heart or from the monarch in the heart of the Nine Rails District. Mm-hmm. And today at the Ogden Arts Advisory Committee meeting, we discussed the fact that we get multiple requests from different businesses and artists asking us to expand the boundary of the Nine Rails District, which in the meeting today I said was counterintuitive. The whole point of this was to create a nucleus of creativity and art that would then grow outward, which is exactly what has happened. And all the way out to Thornbrew's driveway with that driveway concert. Yeah, you know, it's like, let the Nine Rails stay it and let it grow and blossom beyond that until this entire
community. The public doesn't know where the boundaries are, right, for crying out loud. Yeah. That's a comment I didn't get in, but yeah.
Now, ours is so important, and to watch it grow in these organic places like driveways with John Calvin Abney, touring musicians that come through and play backyard concerts, it's just... what a wonderful
community. Who's opening
community.
For Hanson on their new tour
now? In Australia and Japan or something like that?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Plus that backdrop. Talk about a beautiful outdoor backdrop.
Yeah.
I'll be going to their next outdoor concert.
I'm
going to
buy season tickets when he starts making them available.
Consider it done.
So this is Shine Like a Friend from John Calvin Abney. It's on Van Sessions. You can follow Van Sessions on YouTube. Please follow Van Sessions on YouTube. I called this Roots because Van Sessions started, we were all in the van.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're outside the van. COVID led that to where we didn't want everyone in such a small place. And so now we're outside the van and we're plugged in, like MTV Unplugged, where everyone's plugged in, but not really. But this was old school Van Sessions. Now, this is just the one artist, but then we had after that a full band in there. So this is John Calvin Abney with Shine Like a Friend, Van Sessions Roots at the Brewhouse. We'll catch you on the next Ogden Arts and Adventure Show.
This song's called Shine Like a Friend. It's on my record, Familiar Ground. Oh, anxious hand laid light on my bed, take all my plans for today, and take a walk through town at golden hour, and what is not true will fade away. In the porcelain of dusk, in the dawn of red rust, we do what we must, and that's okay. Shine like a friend, in all that blooms will fade, a hand like that desert sand will blow away.
Okay.